Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight or this morning.
Good morning.
Love the morning show.
Good morning.
We got Robo Umps, salary cap in baseball, and possible rule changes in the National Football League. We begin today's show with football.
I know.
Shocker. Matthew Stafford has agreed to a restructure deal with the Rams, which means he will return to the team next season. Earlier this week, Stafford was given permission to seek a trade to see what he was worth. Ultimately, he decided to return to the Rams. Z, will either the Rams or Stafford regret this decision?
Well, let's just go over the situation, right? You're Matthew Stafford, you're 37 years old, you're held together with duct tape and a wish at this point in your career. And that's to no fault of your own, right? You played for some really shitty Detroit Lions teams at the beginning of your career, you get the crap beat out of you. Rightfully...
That's debatable.
Rightfully so... You're starting to think about your future and how much you got left. You're looking at what's going on, right? You see the landscape of the Rams. They went all in, right, when they got you. Mr. Fuck Them Picks. Mortgage the future. They got Nacua, right? They got Jared Verse. It's a young team around you.
Youngest team.
Young team, right? So What realistically is my window? Well, let's look at the flip side of that. You were the only team that actually gave the Eagles a scare in the playoffs last year. Reasonably, you could have knocked off the Eagles. You didn't, but you were in position to do so. Right? A couple of runs here and there, and there's a good chance you knock off Philly. And we're not talking about the Eagles as champions. So you look at the landscape, right? I'm a year older now. This team's a year more mature, but I don't have this money. Let me look around the league. He took meetings with the Giants. He took meetings with the Raiders, and he came running back. I'll take what you got. Just you were talking about Pete Alonso, right? Like for overseeing what's going on with the rest of the league, and then going back to the team that you're comfortable with. Very similar. Like yeah, no, like. That the grass isn't always greener elsewhere. You know, you still have Puka Nacua. You may still have Cooper Kupp. They're fielding offers, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have to trade him. They don't have to. The alternative, right? The alternative to him, they were like playing footsie with Aaron Rodgers and saying Jimmy Garoppolo. We were comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo as our starter. It's kind of like saying Bubba Crosby was the starting center fielder for the Yankees for like 3 weeks, and then they went and signed Johnny Damon. We're comfortable with Bubba in center. It's going to be great. Johnny, welcome. Here's a razor. Here's a can of shaving cream. Go take care of business. I think this is the best move for Matthew Stafford. Of the teams he went to, they're not a quarterback away. The Giants have some talent on offense, right? They have neighbors. Slayton is pretty decent. They've, you know, Tracy can become something. The line's suspect. Losing Andrew Thomas last year definitely hurt, but that the line has been suspect for the better part of a decade now. They got Burns. They have Dexter. They have pieces, but they're not a Matthew Stafford away from jumping over the Cowboys, Commies, and Eagles. They're not. And the Raiders are the Raiders. They're a dysfunctional bunch. Right? It's a mess. Do you really want to go to Las Vegas? Maybe for a weekend, maybe for a vacation, not to play. So this is the perfect fit for him. It's the perfect fit for the Rams. I don't think that either side is going to... I don't think either side is going to be disappointed that this went down. But I do think they do... need to consider their future. So maybe not this year, maybe next year. I'm investigating the quarterback market in the draft if I'm the Rams. Because, again, he'll be 38 going into age 39. Do I necessarily... My window is closing. The NFC West is competitive, but in the bigger picture here, the older my quarterback gets, the more these guys need to get paid. Because Alec Jackson just got paid too. The more this happens, the smaller my window is getting. Kudos to the Rams for staying competitive. Kudos to Stafford for staying, because, again, the grass isn't always greener. And I think they could take the division next year. Like, we haven't seen what the other teams are going to do yet, but the Rams will be competitive. The Rams will be fine. And I think both sides will be happy with this agreement.
This was a smart move by Stafford for sure, because, you know, like you said, where are you going, dude? If this is about money, because this is what it was, it was about money, you want to see who was going to pay him. Because, like I said, 9 quarterbacks are set to make more than $50 million next year. And he's only set to make 27 in guaranteed money. So it's like, I'm 37 years old. I'm worth more than $27 million a year. So talk to me. You know, I haven't seen the numbers or what the new restructured deal is, but... Last year, the restructure was just a band-aid. I mean, we knew this was going to happen again. So for him, it was a no-brainer. It's like, yeah, I'll come back and I'll, you know, just give me some more money. You know, just help me out. Help me help you.
Yeah.
Right? For the Rams...
Still no details on this, by the way.
Still no details. But for the Rams, you know... I'd have to see the numbers on it, because you're moving forward, right? So, you know, I like Sam Darnold. Yes. You know this. I mean, what does Sam want? What is Sam looking for? Could you get Sam, right? Now, if I can't get Sam, could I get Aaron Rodgers? Do I think Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career is just as good or better than Matthew Stafford? Debatable. Certainly debatable.
Aaron Rodgers has Devontae Adams in his back pocket, though. That's the one thing. You put Adams with Nacua, your team gets a lot better on paper.
Right, right. And we're playing in California. We're playing in a dome. Sean McVay's the offensive coordinator. He's the head coach. He's going to make it work with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to make it work with Sam Darnold. Hell, he likes Jimmy Garoppolo. He likes him. I'm not saying he wants him to start. I'm just saying he likes him. He gets value out of Jimmy G for what Jimmy G's doing, right? I got to look to the future. Like, what's next, you know? So it's like, yeah, you know, we could bring him back, but this is our number. I'm not moving this number, whatever this number is. And I don't know, maybe they did talk to Aaron, and maybe Aaron's looking for the same number or close to that number. And then it's a deal breaker for me. And what am I going to start over for? I can just stick with this guy who's just slinging just as good. Is there a guy in this draft that I'm looking at and like, okay, we could draft him in the third or fourth or maybe even fifth round, and we can see what he looks like. You know, we don't have a lot of picks, so we got to make sure we nail the ones
right.
We do. You know,
because we mortgage the future to get him.
The other thought, and this is something I've been spinning since we started the show this year. Next year is the quarterback draft. So if I take Matthew Stafford back and we suck, or he gets hurt and Jimmy G has to play, or four other quarterbacks have to play, and I get a top 10 pick next year, we're good. We're good. Because I'll have a whole bevy of picks to trade up to get who I want, or pick the guy I want and move forward. So what I think has happened, again, we do not know details of this contract. I'm assuming it's really a one-year or three-year with player options, or, you know, where he's pretty much just going to play this year and then get cut or then get traded. I mean, he knows what his value is on the open market, and it's not probably where he wants it to be. You know, so... I think this is a this is the best thing for Matthew Stafford. But Z, if he went to the Raiders, right?
Okay.
They have Bowers, mm-hmm. right? They, I believe, have
Myers,
a top pick, number 7.
Yeah.
Right? They have the number 7 yeah. pick. They could draft the best running back in the draft. They could draft the best wide receiver in the draft. The Raiders have some, they could get Cooper Kupp. So you could have Kupp, Bowers, and a top running back or a top wide receiver on the team if he went to the Raiders.
If you were the Raiders and the Rams called you up and said, we will give you both Stafford and Kupp for a package, but you got to give us the number 7 pick this year. Are you hanging up the phone or are you considering that as part of a package?
Wait,
we are willing to give you Stafford and Kupp, but you have to be willing to give us the number 7 pick as part of a bigger package. Would you do that if you were the Raiders? Would you make that call if you're the Rams?
Fuck off. Would I make that call if I'm the Rams? Yeah, I'd make that call if I'm the Rams to get the 7 pick.
Now, not just the 7 pick, though, as part of a bigger package. If I can recoup multiple first-round picks for two – well, Kupp is past his prime due to injury, but Kupp is past his prime. And, you know, Stafford is on the wrong side of 35. But if I can get, like, 3 first-rounders – and maybe some other picks, maybe even a low-level player, I would consider that.
If I'm the Raiders
and if I'm the Rams. Because if I stink, I can go and take Arch Manning.
I don't think Brady's going for that. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if I stink, I got a first-round pick back.
I think the Rams know what they're doing. They seem to be in the Super Bowl or close to the Super Bowl in every decade. So I'm sure they know what they're doing. And I think... you know, they have a plan for the future, which we'll see play out. But now that Stafford has decided to go back to the Rams, the Giants are rumored to be in the market for a veteran quarterback. Not named Daniel Jones. Not looking for that guy, though. Rodgers, Fields, Wilson, Darnold are all on the top of the Giants list. Is this the right move for the Giants to go get a veteran quarterback instead of drafting a guy?
Not these guys, though. Russell Wilson, maybe 3 years ago before he went to Denver. Maybe. Justin Fields? Not now. Aaron Rodgers? Not now. Sam Darnold? What will it cost me? I'm not in love with it based on...
3 years, $99 million.
Based off of one really good year with...
Or really, that's talking down. What he wants, he probably wants 5 years, $200 million.
For one good year with a certified offensive guru in KOC, right? Like, Daboll's good, but does Sam Darnold fit the offense that Daboll wants to run? Sam Darnold's a drop-back passer.
I think,
like, he's a pocket passer. I don't know necessarily if they need somebody with more mobility than Sam. He's mobile, but he's not Josh Allen.
I think he can run Daboll's offense. I think he could.
The guy's not on his list. In my opinion, is Jameis Winston. Like, I like what Jameis. What Jameis brings to the table, man.
I said Wilson, but Winston. No,
Wilson too. They're both gone. Pittsburgh and the Giants. Neither one of them has a quarterback under contract.
Right.
You know. So I like Jameis. He's got a rocket for an arm. He's got personality. He can run. He's a big fucking dude. Like, he could be that guy. The problem is the turnovers. If he could rein in the picks. He got LASIK and the picks went down. 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. So
he
slings
can
sling it,
it,
man.
He ain't afraid
you
to
need
sling
a guy
it.
With a strong arm at MetLife Stadium because the winds are – the winds
yes.
And
yes.
Sam Darnold knows what the winds are like in MetLife. Does he want that to be his home for 8 games again? Because he had that experience with the Jets. He already had that. Does he want that? But for me,
yeah.
Of this list,
That's what the surge
right.
is for.
Right. Well, I mean, he's paying for the B plus locker room. So he's like, good for you. But yeah, I would say Winston 1, begrudgingly Darnold 2, Russ 3. Actually, no, Fields 3, Russ 4, Rodgers 5. I don't want to touch Rodgers with a 10-foot pole. Like, I don't. Like, we saw it. It to me, it's toxic. And I don't care if you're bringing your little buddy with you. That would even, if you're the Giants, that makes even things even worse, because now you got Neighbors and Adams, right? You just had that with Wilson and Adams. Like, how many times do we need to see this? So if I'm going to rank those, I think I would be comfortable with that as my board of veteran QBs. And should this be the move? I think so. Like, we,
what is it again?
Winston 1, Darnold 2,
Winston 1,
Fields 3,
Darnold,
Russ 4, Rodgers 5. I would be comfortable with that on my top 5 free agent board if I'm the Giants. Okay. I would be fine with that.
Okay.
And Sam, I would put an asterisk if it's the right number. If it's the right number. Because he may not want to come back. He may not want to go play in that stadium. Like, it's a conversation that needs to be had.
For $200 million, well, he will.
For $200 million and then regression back to where he was with the Jets. So,
I wonder what they see when they see Sam Darnold. I wonder what their scouting report says of him. I do wonder if they like him. You know, because he's, believe it or not, Z, from all the scouts I've talked to, they all like him. They all think he is a wonderful quarterback. The only team that doesn't like him is the New York Jets. Very strange. Everywhere he's gone, they've said he was a pro and a damn good quarterback. Every place. San Francisco, Carolina, Minnesota. All of them. All of them. But the Jets, nah, we're going to move on.
Well, maybe it's the Jets, right? Because if Zach Wilson turns into something, like, we'll see.
I think he'll get a chance. He'll definitely get a chance. Look how long it took Geno. The problem with Zach
he's
is
small.
He just needs to. He's small, but he also needs to grow up. He needs to grow up, and he needs to learn how to play quarterback in a professional offense. Terminologies, reads. He can make the throws. He can make all the throws. He just has very bad habits, and he's got to break those. And I think Sean Payton's going to bring out the best of him.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Jeff George. Like, everybody talked about Jeff George. Like, Jeff George had a rocket for an arm. Like, he could throw it
just
over
gifted,
them their mountains.
Just gifted.
But he never was able to figure gifted. It out long term. Like, if he can...
I don't think he cared. I don't think he ever put in the work. I don't think he gave a shit. I mean, I don't know personally. I just don't think he cared. He was happy just being able to throw the rock. I'm just going to throw it. Get
Sounds
under
like Jay
catch
Cutler.
It.
Like they're those guys.
Like, I'm not... They're those guys. Yeah. It could, you know, it's just his personality, but... You know, you might disagree with me. I actually like the position the Giants are in. What happened last year is what happened. They couldn't keep Barkley. It didn't make sense. If Barkley was there, they wouldn't have won. Would the Eagles still have won? Probably not. But they didn't have all the other pieces for it to be helpful. So when I look at the guys that are out there, I'm trying to figure out, okay, which one of these guys, right, could possibly be my quarterback in the future? Because right now I can get him possibly on the cheap and I can compete. And I want a guy here that if things don't work out next year and I do draft a quarterback, there's going to be a good quarterback competition for the next year. Right? So, Winston's good, but I think he is what he is, Z. Like, he ain't winning any Super Bowls. Like, he's not a head case, but he could throw it, but he's not gonna be.
You know who you just described, right? Kerry Collins.
Who?
You just described Kerry Collins.
Hold on. Hold on. Kerry Collins was the best drunk quarterback ever of all time. All time. The problem was they made him sober up and then it all went south after that. Give me Penn State Kerry Collins.
Carolina Kerry Collins.
Give me Carolina, Kerry Collins, and they're beating the Ravens 35-7, not the other way around. So that's what I have to say about that. Sam is good. I think there's upside there, but you know, he was just with Kevin Stefanski, got the best out of him. We know what the worst is. We know what the best is. So what am I going to get? Am I going to get something in between, or am I going to get the best? I agree with you. It's got to be the number. What's the number, Sam? If it's 3 years, $99 million, I'm on board with that. That's the Baker deal. I'm good with that. And now go be Baker Mayfield. That's cool. Baker showed it last year, man. So I'm cool with that. Sam actually would be my number one.
Shocker.
It's my guy. If the number is right. My number two would actually be Justin Fields, because I don't think we know what he is yet. And I think in the games he played with Pittsburgh last year, he played very well. He didn't turn over the ball. He was efficient. He was good. He wasn't great. He was good. So, you know, this would probably be year three for him.
Four, I think.
For him. Okay, so I want him. I want to see what I can do with him. I know he's determined to be good. He doesn't have bad habits. He's showing development. He's showing progress. Right. So he's my number two.
My thing is this, though.
He's absolutely
both the Jets and the Giants have interest in Justin Fields. Is Justin Fields a guy you get into a bidding war over? That's my question.
No. I'm not getting into any bidding wars. No. Because I'm trying to bridge. I'm bridging to my next quarterback, possibly. So I'm not getting into bidding war. Any one of these guys will do, but there's just certain guys that I think are better than others. Okay, so now we get into the veteran. Now we get into the older veteran class, I would say, where you've got Winston, Wilson, and Rodgers. So the next guy I'm going to say is Wilson. Because Russ can run my system. If I'm the GM, Shane, I know Russ can run this system. And I think he can maybe do it better than Allen, because he throws the moon ball. He's smaller. I think Russell Wilson is smarter. So Russ would be my number three. And he played very well for Pittsburgh last year. Very well. My number four then would be Rodgers. Because even though things looked bad last year for the Jets, Rodgers statistically turned it up in the second half of the season, which was probably when he finally got better from his Achilles injury, and was throwing well and playing well. The problem with Rodgers is I don't think he can run Dayball's system. We're in a drop back pass mode, but I'm interested in seeing Rodgers to neighbors all day long. All day long. I'm in for that. And my last one would be Winston, because then I'm just like, okay, I'll give you a 1 year deal, $5 million. Come on over. We'll give you number two. Then that's it. That's how
I'm looking at it by age as well. So, like,
I like the Giants' position. I don't think it's a death sentence. I think it's fine. It's a year where there's guys out there that can play quarterback. Like all these guys we just mentioned can play quarterback in National Football League. That's just the facts. I didn't even mention a Flacco or a Stidham or any of those other guys that could very well play too. They can throw. This isn't a time when there's no throwers. There's throwers. It's that, you know, you might not like the way they throw.
You have to take into account age of the quarterback. You have to take into account the offensive line that they're going behind. I think you need to go. I think the reason why Jameis Winston's in the sweet spot, he's not old. He's not super old, but he's also not young enough that he's going to see ghosts. Like, he's 31. Like, that's a sweet spot right there. You put him in a 2-year deal, something like manageable. And, you know, like Jameis Winston, like you said, he is who he is. He can't ask for the sun, the moon, the stars. Could you be like, fuck off?
He's not gonna.
Right.
He's not gonna.
So you can get a reasonable quarterback under a reasonable contract, and I can still rebuild. The problem with Sam is that it's going to cost you, right? The problem with Russ, right? Russ was a special situation last year because of the nature of the Broncos deal and the Steelers. They got him on the cheap. is he going to continue on that track, or is he going to want to get paid what he's worth again? Fields is a question mark. Like, I mean, that's through no fault of his own. He got done dirty by the Bears, and then he got done dirty by the Steelers. So there really is, like, Justin Fields is a huge question mark. And then fucking Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's, you know, Flacco would be interesting. Flacco can throw. Like, Flacco can flat out. He can chuck the rock. He absolutely can. That would be interesting. But Frankenstein's monster behind that offensive line, I don't care what Jermaine Illuminor says, it's still a very porous offensive line. Yes, Andrew Thomas went down and it set back the team. And yes, Evan Neal is still on this team. But yeah, that's still a problem. Like, you still have to address it. And you need money to do that. But you're absolutely right. You signed Saquon, you're not addressing any of your other needs. And you have even bigger holes on this roster. It needed to be done. And as painful as it was, it needed to be done. So, I mean, the Giants are what the Giants are. They're in the 50 feet of crap right now, and they got to dig out. Can they?
I don't think it's as bad as you say. I think they have their wide receiver of the future. They're in building mode. I think they'll be fine. But all teams are working this offseason to get ready for the 2025 season, and the combine has landed in Indianapolis, and owners are discussing possible rule changes. The Packers have voted against the tush push. They want it removed from the game. They've let that be known. There's a rule change on the table that would eliminate kickoffs and have every team start at the 35-yard line. And lastly, Troy Vincent wants to address the overtime rules, since the team that gets the ball first wins more than half of the time. So, Z, which item do you think needs to be addressed?
So you're telling me that the overtime rule is a problem.
So
just make it fucking sudden death again, please. Sudden death.
I just don't understand. Doesn't every team have a 50-50 chance of winning every time they play?
No, it's probability. It's a coin flip. Then you get.
I'm tired of the coin flip. Get rid of the fucking coin. Why are we flipping coins? It is 2025. How about this? If you're the home team, you're giving the visitor the chance. It's their option. Do you want the ball in the beginning of the game, or do you want the ball at halftime? And if you're the home team and this shit goes to overtime, they get the ball first because they're the fucking home team.
Here's a crazy idea.
That's it. That's it.
This might also change the strategy of the game, right? If you defer at the opening coin toss, you can't get the ball in overtime to start.
There you go. Fine. I'm just tired of this whole idea that shit got to be fair and everybody needs to get a chance. Fuck you. You have a problem. Win in regulation. Win the game in regulation. Like, what are we talking about right now? Well, you know, you got the ball first. I think we should get the ball. We should get a try. Bullshit. Fucking stop
this
us,
isn't
asshole.
Over, it's
come on.
It's
blitz.
An over.
Double team. We've been playing for four fucking quarters, and you still haven't figured it out.
This is.
And what? So we give you the ball, and then you get the score, and you go for two, and that somehow is fair. Like, why are we trying to reward lackluster play? It's not like these games are tied 3-3 or 10-10. They're usually tied like 28-28, 35-35, 42-40. So no one's playing well. And we're extending this longer. I think it's so stupid that we're talking about this. I'm tired of hearing about coin flips. How about this? The first person to 65-yard field goal wins the game. That's exciting.
See, well, like, I'm glad you mentioned that. This all started as an overreaction because Adam Vinatieri and Steven Gostkowski were very accurate kickers. And they would kill the game. And then it's an additional overreaction when Josh Allen didn't get a chance to touch the ball in overtime. Make it fucking sudden death. You already fucked with the kicks, right? Last year, the most accurate kicker in NFL history was missing shit left and right.
Yeah. Not a bad year. Yeah. It happens. Pressure gets to you. Snow, wind, rain, shit happens.
Jake Elliott was terrible last year. Jake Elliott had a terrible year last year.
You want to make it fair? You want to make it more fair? How about an overtime? Remove illegal contact. All right, now the defense has a better chance of fucking stopping somebody. Come on, what are we talking about?
No illegal contact, no pass interference. No pass interference.
No, we need pass interference. But no legal contact. You can touch the guy up to 5 yards.
Overtime, 10 minutes of playground football. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You can shoot him. Like, whatever the hell. I don't care. Like, they're...
How about this? Overtime, if you get the ball first, you have to go for it on fourth down. All right?
Interesting.
There you go. Like, come on. This is stupid. This is so stupid. Who gives a shit that the team who gets the ball first wins most of this? Because it's been a lousy game. The team's been scoring up and down with no problem, right? Am I right or am I wrong? The games aren't tied 6-6, Z. They're tied high numbers because no one can stop anybody. That's why we're going overtime. And look at the Bills game.
That no one's
Bills
allowed game, to stop anybody.
The Bills-Kansas City Chiefs game, what was it, 2 years ago? Where the last like minute and a half, there was like four scores. Boom, 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 boom.
But then
boom,
when you try and play defense like what Frankie Louvu was doing, don't do that. We're going to award a point. We're going to award a touchdown. Like, don't make me turn this fucking thing around. But, you know, I the overtime rule is what it is. The kickoff thing, they would want to get rid of the kickoffs for years. Most kickoffs are touchbacks. Touchbacks begin at the 35. Put it at the fucking 35. Like, I don't care. Like, that's, you know, it is what it is.
No, Z, because when you put it at the 35, you're shortening the field. You're shortening how far the other team has to go, one. Number two, you're eliminating like a holding penalty that it could push this back to the 25-yard line or push this back to the 15, push this back to the 12. Like, I don't think they realize, but by starting it at the 35, you're shortening the field.
But you can actually still do that, though. You can do that if there are penalties on the conversion or if there are penalties on the kick. That could still happen.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen. Well, that doesn't happen as much. I don't think that happens as much. And I just, you're almost conditioning teams to be able to better score from 35-yard line than if they were to get the ball deeper in their opponent's territory. Or in their own territory, rather say. So teams won't be so accustomed to playing on their goal line or on their 10 or on their 15 and having to go because they're always getting the ball to 35. Like, think about it. Like, a 30-yard pass from the 35, you're already in the opponent's territory. You could be there in one play. And that's good, I think. And then once you do that, you're already in field goal range. In one play, you're in field goal range. Now, when you start the 10, 15, 20, 25, that very rarely happens. I think that's the kickoff rule they had this year sucked.
Bad.
It was bad. I don't know what you want to do. Go to less players. I don't know. Like, but having, you know, them kick the ball and wait for it to be caught in the kick zone or the return zone or whatever you called it and then coming out. It's like, come on,
here's
man.
What we're talking about here, though.
Here's the deal. But, Z, my whole thing is this. Is like, if it's a player safety.
Oh, we'll get to that.
And you have a problem with it, call a fair catch. Run out of bounds. Kneel. You don't have to run full power into these guys coming at you. And, again, we've already limited where the kicker can kick the ball anyway. So, make a business decision if you're so concerned about your health and your well-being. No one's telling you you got to run 100 miles per hour into all these oncoming people. So I disagree with it wholeheartedly.
63.5% of kickoffs went for touchbacks last year. And that was decreased from 73% the year before. Now, the dynamic kickoff was terrible. I agree. Like, it was just, it's bad optics. It's lackluster. Like, it's just a needlessly complicated thing. 100%. Now, is the trend going to continue? If you continue this dynamic kickoff, is it going to continue that these touchbacks are going to decrease? I don't think so. I really don't think so. They're just going to bomb it out of the back of the end zone like they've been doing. Like, that's, kickers are stronger than they've ever been, right? Their legs are better. They're hitting through the uprights on the other side of the field on these kickoffs. So... like, I just don't see that this is going to make a difference. Like, yeah, you'll get that, you won't get the situations where you're working back from your 5, your 10, whatever. But more often than not, you're not anyway. So it's one of those situations that it could go either way. And like, I wouldn't be compared to what we saw last year. Like, it really doesn't mean anything to me. The tush push. Now let's get into the tush push here, because sour grapes from the Packers sounds a lot like sour grapes from the Packers, but Sean McDermott was the smartest one out there. The Eagles run it the most, obviously. What team runs that play, the tush push brotherly shove? What team runs it the second most? The Buffalo Bills.
The Bills. They run it to the left mostly, though.
But same thing. But they do run it. They do run a modified version. And Sean McDermott comes out, even though they run it the second most, it's really a health and safety issue. We should probably look into this. That's some chess right there, man. That's some mental mind trick. They just
did the research. No player has gotten hurt on a tush push play. So the jury.
Chris Jones would beg to differ.
You're so worried. No, he hurt his neck. That wasn't. That's bullshit. The only thing that I'm going to say is that, you know, if you're so worried about player safety, then get rid of the cut block. That's fucking dangerous. Having a 300-pound man dive at your fucking knee, that's a dangerous play. The tush push isn't dangerous. The Philadelphia Eagles are a perfect storm. They have huge offensive linemen. They have a quarterback that can rack over 400 pounds on his back. That's why they're good at it. And they perfected it. They know that snap count, they get lower than everybody else, and they're making it work. Now, if you are able to run that play, or you are able to stop them, and you want to get rid of it, okay, cool. But nobody can stop them, and they're the only team that runs it that good. Sorry. No. You don't get... This is their bread and butter. It was like back in the, what was it? Joe Gibb used to run the trap sweep. The trap sweep. They had Grimm and one other lineman coming out full power around the side to lead their back up and through. Good luck getting through those two guards and then tackling the running back. They were the best at it. They were good at it. Did we outlaw that play? No. Figure out a way to stop it. And if you can't stop it, don't get into those situations. The only thing I would say is if you wanted to say it's illegal to have the tight end or another player push him from behind, I can get on board with that. But I don't think that matters. I don't think that's changing. It's not changing them getting a yard or two. I think Jalen's going to get it anyway. They just have a perfect storm. Like, if you put Zach Wilson back there, are they still getting that yard? Probably not. If you put Aaron Rodgers back there, is he even running that play?
Kenny Pickett. Are they even doing it with their own backup?
Right. They have five guys. They have eight guys, essentially, that run that play very well. And they can run variations of that play. And no, just because you can't stop it doesn't... That's like when, with Shaq, they put in the defensive 3 seconds. Like, no. Just because you can't stop it doesn't mean we're outlawing it. No one's getting hurt. It's a boring play. It works for them. Figure it out. Go figure it out. Guess the snap count. Like, who was doing it? Was the Rams?
That was the Commies when Luvu was trying to jump it.
The Commies. Yeah. Keep trying to guess the snap count. Keep trying to jump it. That's it. That's all you can do.
Well, the thing is that it's anecdotal, but there is evidence out there. Jason Kelce himself has said he didn't like running that play because you had 300 fucking pound guys falling on top of him. From an offensive line standpoint, that's a problem. Like, we could get Dan.
Did he get hurt?
He got banged
up.
Get hurt? Like, you're gonna get banged up. That's football, though. But at the same time, that is going to increase the probability of injury. It hasn't happened yet. That doesn't mean it won't.
Z, do you think receivers like to run over the middle?
We know
and catch
that for a fact. They don't.
In a cover two,
we don't. We know that.
No, they don't. They do. Do you know, you think there are times when a receiver catches the ball and knows he's going to take a shot?
Yes, all the time.
Yeah. And he does, right? I think there's more injuries from bang-bang plays like that than there are in a tush push. When a guy running full speed at 30, you know, from the 30-yard line comes and collides with a guy that's looking for a ball and that's running from, you know, 5-10 yards away. That's a much more dangerous play than the tush push. I'm sorry. There's no remorse from me. You're not getting. It's a quarterback sneak, man. I don't want to hear it.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
We've talked a lot about football today. Let's move on to baseball. So all the crying the Yankees have done about the Dodgers this offseason is starting to get more attention. Rob Manfred and several owners have discussed the idea of a salary cap being introduced into Major League Baseball with also a cap floor. This will force teams like the Rays to spend over $70 or $80 million on a roster, and it will rein in the top spending teams like the Dodgers. The Players Union could be on board with something like this, but would you?
Well, first off, let's clarify this. What crying have the Yankees specifically done about the Dodgers this offseason? The Nestor Cortez thing was like, if we win game one, we're in the series. Like, okay, like if you don't make that terrible pitch to Freddie Freeman, yes. If you don't give up the only grand slam in Major League Baseball in World Series history, if you didn't set history, Mr. Cortez, yes, maybe you would have had a better shot.
Eddie Cortez delivers.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
That's not Shaquille O'Neal out there. That baby's out of here. But you know, it's true. Like, the Yankee players aren't really bitching. Like, Aaron Judge knows he needs to catch that pop, that fly ball.
Hal Steinbrenner's
bitching. Okay, to clarify that.
He's bitching.
Okay, that's fine. Why is Hal Steinbrenner's bitching? Why is he bitching? Because more money's going to come out of his wallet.
I don't know. He's got plenty of money. And since when do the Yankees
complain
about money?
But this is rich people problem. That's what rich people do. Like, I got to pay more money? Motherfucker.
The Dodgers still got to pay the luxury tax. They still got... That's the whole... That
did they defer the luxury tax? Have they figured out the rule to defer them?
Haven't figured out. They're paying the luxury tax. They're doing what they're supposed to do. If you don't get... Listen, for years, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox were the top spending teams. And there weren't teams anywhere near them. And they were going to the playoffs. They were winning World Series. And everybody was griping about how much they spend. Now everybody's spending money, and the Dodgers figured out how to defer things, and that's all of a sudden not fair? Fuck you. If it's not fair, then go out and beat them to the punch. You go defer money. You go and pay players. You had no problem with it 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Now it's a problem? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the Yankees complaining about it. And number two, you can't force a team to have a cap floor. Fuck you. If I want to pay only $50 or $60 million to my players and increase my profit margin by going to the World Series like the Rays do, that's my right as an owner. I can do whatever the hell I want. You can't force me to spend a certain amount of money. And then they like this idea now because if you create a cap, you know, you're going to, you know, there's going to be more sharing going on. But don't be fooled. There will be heavy tops to that order. There'll be heavy tops to your cap. There'll be guys like Aaron Judge, and there'll be guys like Ohtani. And then there's going to be a shit ton of players that aren't making anything because they're paying those guys all the money. So I think exactly. So I think baseball better be careful in what you hope for. Because in the NBA, Z, there's only 12 mm-hmm. guys on that roster. In Major League Baseball, there's over 25 guys on that team. So you better be careful what you're asking for. Because just because you have a cap doesn't mean they're going to make that. Doesn't mean that the Players Union, the Players Association, and the owners aren't going to be vying for that cap number to keep going up.
Well, it's going to. That's nature of the beast.
And then what's going to happen? And then what happens to the floor? And then the floor is going to go up too? You're going to keep bringing up the floor so that a team that's constantly spending the least amount is going to be forced to spend more money every year? Come on, man. That's ridiculous. And I'm a person that used to hate the fact that the Yankees spent more than everybody else and that the Mets spent so much money and that didn't give every team a chance, like the Royals and the Rockies and the Marlins. But then what happened? Everybody started spending money. And then what happened? Teams like the Rays figured it the fuck out. Teams like the Rockies made it to the World Series. So I'm figure it out. Teams like Oakland competed at a high level with the Yankees, with the Red Sox.
What did they not do, though? What did they not do? This is in your wheelhouse. Like, compete. You sound like me. Like, I'm all about Mr. Compete. What did they not do, though? They didn't win. They didn't have the players. They didn't have the horses to take them over the top.
Winning's not guaranteed to anybody. Winning's not even guaranteed to the Dodgers, to be quite frank. You can have all the money in the world, but that doesn't mean you're going to win. Not today. Not 15, 20 years ago. Yeah, the teams with the highest bankroll won.
The Dodgers. Now.
Look at the Angels. Look at the Angels. Josh Hamilton, Anthony Rendon, Mike Trout. Josh Hamilton. All those guys won shit. Look at those Ranger teams. All those Ranger teams when A-Rod, you know, they didn't win. It's not. It doesn't work.
Numbers game. When you buy 24 out of 26 players and they were all stars in the past two seasons, your probability goes up that you will be successful.
Yeah, you'll be successful, sure. But you're not guaranteed.
No, nothing in life is guaranteed. But if you rig your roster so that you have 24 out of 26 guys who are recent all-stars and who are recent, you know, top 100 players and over $100 million contracts, yeah, I feel very confident that I'm gonna win. Like, but if I have like a team like the A's, right, the itinerant A's, who like are paying the league minimum to how many people, like they're barely hanging. This guy's here is dead. Like, come on.
Figure it out.
The answer is money. The answer is money. They need to spend. They need to bring in money. They need to do it.
Figure it out. Get homegrown talent. Figure it out. Get your Zito, Mulder, and Hudson and figure it out. You got to figure it out. People get hurt. Look at Giancarlo Stanton.
His elbows are on fire right now. And then Jason Dominguez can't play left field to save his life.
What are the Yankees without Giancarlo Stanton this year? What are the Dodgers without Ohtani?
Without Ohtani still win the World Series.
What are the Mets without Soto?
Where they were last year.
Right. So it's all perspective.
The Yankees without Stanton are slightly worse. Because Stanton in the playoffs, he turned into Mike Stanton. Like, he went back to Mike Stanton.
Let it be clear that in the playoffs, Giancarlo Stanton is the best player in Major League Baseball.
Best hitter.
He's the best hitter. Yes. Best hitter in Major League Baseball. The numbers are stupid. They're stupid. Like, he smokes the ball, crushes the ball. You know, there are certain times when he gets up, like when he played against Cleveland, it was like,
it's over.
This guy is not going to be able to get it by him. He's not going to get it by him. This shit is going to go a mile. Like, so it's just shit like that.
Yeah, but
that.
You know what?
Like,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cleveland.
You've got to build your roster, and you've got to.
I'm glad you mentioned Cleveland, though. Cleveland won 95 games last year, and they looked like they didn't belong out there in the ALCS. So what does that tell you?
Yeah,
like it's an illusion.
That tells me,
like, all of this is an illusion.
That tells me that this year, if they make it, they'll be a little bit better. That's what it tells me. They
sold off Jimenez. They brought Carlos Santana back for round three. Like, I don't necessarily.
They have a good pitching staff, though. They have a good pitching staff. They have one of the best closers in the league who gave up
ERA of 9
saves in the playoffs.
ERA of fucking 9
in the postseason. Tanner Bibee is on his way. You have to figure out your niche. You've got to figure out how you're going to make it work and how you're going to win games. It's all about scoring
like what
runs,
made
right?
the...
It's all about scoring runs and preventing.
And that's
the
Royals
scoring.
In that division.
That's what it comes
that,
down.
The Royals are on the come. And why are the Royals on the come? They went and got Seth Lugo. They went and got Michael Wacha. Well, they went and got.
What else is another Central team on the come? The fucking Detroit Tigers. Look out! They got rid of their highest
and re-signed
player,
him.
And they made the playoffs.
No, Baez is back. He just had hip surgery. He's getting
I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to say, like, they lost their highest paid player, and they made it to the playoffs, and they knocked off one of the top seeds. They knocked off Houston. They knock. That's the other thing that helps everybody out now. This stupid new playoff format gives everybody a chance in the playoffs. All you got to do is win two out of the first three games in the play.
If you get that far. In. But then you look at a team like Colorado.
If you get that.
Colorado is exactly what you're talking about, right? They got Chris Bryant and everybody else. They ain't sniffing the playoffs.
They
have some guy who used to be good, and they ain't sniffing the playoffs, dude. Like, you know, they're...
Figure it out.
Figure it out. Should have talked
to Kyle Tucker.
Throw money at the problem.
Should have talked to Correa.
Throw money at the problem. And
No. It's always been that way, Z. It's always been like that in baseball. Baseball's always been the sport that spent fucking stupid money because they had no cap. But the problem, like you said, is now everybody's got money. And now they decide if they're going to spend it or not. The Rays have decided that they're not going to spend money. That's okay with the Rays. They're happy with their shit stadium. They're happy with their shit product. But every 4 or 5 years, they're a problem. Every 4 or 5 years, the Rays are a problem, Z. And they always, what do? They fucking scumbag somebody in a trade and they better themselves.
Well,
am I right?
They did.
Am I right?
Until.
If the Rays call you,
well, here's
hang
the thing,
up.
Though. Here's hang the thing. Up. What happened? The owner's the same. Who's different now? It's still Stuart Sternberg, but now Andrew Friedman took the money and now he's with the fucking Dodgers. So what is that? So that's all you need to know, dude.
Good for him. They got
24 out of 26 of the best players in baseball, and they went and got the top executive. They're not fucking around.
You're the Rockies, you fucking call Harvard, call Yale, get your next Peter Brand, and try to figure it out. That's where it starts. You've got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere and work your way up. You're not a big market. You're not going to get these big guys. What does he say? We're not a big market team. We're not going to spend big market money. I need you to find ways to win with the players I give you. That's it. I'm sorry. Not every team can be like that, see? So what? You're going to put a salary cap on? You're going to limit how much the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Red Sox spend? And what's that going to do? For me, if I'm the Rockies, that gives me a chance at signing who? Like, I've got a... Now the Yankees weren't able to give this player $800 million. So what? Now I can maybe sign him for what? For $400 million? What do you think that's going to do? It's just going to lower the amount of money other players
Why do you think the Players Association is involved? Why do you think they approve this? Because the rising tide floats all boats. The league minimum is going to go up. Everything's going to go up.
That's what they're hoping for.
No, it's going to be a fucking lockout. There's going to be a lockout in Major League Baseball.
Right. It's just going to make it worse. It's not going to solve the problem. The problem is like you've got to develop players. That's always what it's been. If you're a small market team, you've got to get young talent. You got to develop one players. And every 4 years, you want to be competitive. That's the other thing.
That's
the goal. Like, every 4 to 8 years, you want to be competitive. That's the goal. You're not going to be like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Braves, the Dodgers, the Astros, and getting to the playoffs every year and getting to the World Series or getting to the League Championship Series every year. No. That's their lofty expectations for how much they spend and what they do. Yours as a Vegas team, as a Royals team, even as a Tigers team, is like every 4 years, we're going to be in the mix. And every 4 years, we start over. That's it. It's not a cap issue. It's a development issue. You've got to develop players. Everybody wants to have their players throw as hard as they can, and they don't give a shit about starting pitchers. You're going to be the team that gives a shit about a starting pitcher. You're going to find the next Pedro. You're going to find the next Rick Maddux. You're going to find the next
Max Scherzer.
We're going to have four guys that go 8 fucking innings. Good luck. Rethink the wheel. Redevelop it. Figure it out. We're going to bunt. We're going to hit where they ain't. They want to shift their outfield. We're going to hit it where they aren't. Figure it the fuck out.
Well, that's also, you're speaking to a, you know, you're also speaking to that as well. Youth sports development.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? We're talking about, like, where are they getting these players from? High school, college, youth sports. It's trash, man. What they're learning outside of, like, development leagues, like, just, like, Little League, like, ASO, like, these things where it's just a developmental league. These pay-for-play travel leagues aren't teaching these kids dick. And they're getting high school unprepared? Because high school, they're just going to try and churn him out, right? Look what happened to Kerry Wood. Like, Kerry Wood was abused in high school. Why? Because he had a fucking rocket for an arm.
On the baseball field.
Yes. Thank you for the clarification. On the baseball field, Kerry Wood was misused. Then you get to college, and then you got guys with fucking Tommy John surgeries already. And, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? Or they'll take the money and they'll go to the minors and they'll toil in obscurity where they're not learning really much more than what they knew. Throw as hard as you can. Okay.
Give you, like, I know it's not really a small market, but look at the Nationals. They got three outfielders that are homegrown talent. I think their last guy came up this year. Watch out for the Nationals in the next 2 years. Like, they're developing. Like, they're on the rise. You got to develop players. You got to develop your system. The Orioles, look at the Orioles did for all those years. They sucked. They developed players. Last year, they finally put it together. And hopefully this year, they have a little bit more experience. And they're able to get through that final, half of the season.
You want to look for a team to watch out? The Pittsburgh Pirates. They haven't been good in 100 years. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they were just waiting. What's up?
But Andrew McCutchen somehow
it's
won
a
the MVP
fucking powder keg. And once they light that sucker up and it explodes, watch out for the Pittsburgh Pirates. In 100 years, they're gonna bubble up and be a fucking dynasty.
They have the best pitcher in baseball, right? He'll get Tommy John soon.
Or he'll get traded to the Dodgers.
You gotta figure it out. But one thing that doesn't need to be figured out is a strike zone. Robo umps have been introduced into spring training. Each team gets two challenges per game, which allows pitchers or hitters to challenge a ball or a strike call by simply tapping on their helmet or their hat. Max Scherzer hates robo-umps.
Shocker.
And would prefer a human to make the calls and feels comfortable with human error. And I'm sure several hitters would disagree. Where do you stand on robo-umps?
So, I'm just throwing this out there. Max Scherzer would like Angel Hernandez to have a job. Max Scherzer would like CB Buckner to have a job. Because, why? Okay, maybe get better umps. Maybe get rid of the three blind mice. Replay. It's another form of replay. I'm not a fan of replay in sports. Hawkeye in tennis, all of the crap that has gotten into sports. There is no human error anymore. It's not accepted because we have all this technology, and the people at home, Joe Schmo at home, can see a better angle than the ump.
Yep.
So, I agree with Max Scherzer. I can't believe I'm saying that, but you do need better umps. But they just lost. We just lost the best ump in baseball because he couldn't fucking, you know, he couldn't keep from fan dueling. So, like, we need to do something about officiating in sports in general. Technology is not going to solve the problem of incorrect calls to begin with. If you call it right the first time, you won't need to overcorrect. But that's the nature of baseball. That's the nature of sports. It's a human error. And how is this exactly going to work? Because last time I checked, you have a guy like Aaron Judge in the league, but then you also have a guy like Jose Altuve. You have 5-6 versus 6-8. How is this technology going to work? Like, how is it going to clear for high and low pitches? It's fine for inside and outside. How is it clear for high and low? Because it's the letters. Or, like, where's the belt? Hello? Like, Aaron Judge's belt is Jose Altuve's head. You know, it needs to be worked out. Technology is fine as a tool. It cannot be the be-all, end-all. Like, that's, you know, robo umps eventually, that's what they want to do, right? They eventually replace umpires altogether and just have IT guys. We don't want umpires. We don't want professionals. We want IT. Like the chain gang. Did you see this in the NFL? Like, they're thinking about replacing the chain gang with an automated first down marker. Up to a degree. You know, I got to see how it works.
See, the problem is, if we have the opportunity to get the call right every single time, why wouldn't we turn to that? That's my whole thing. It's like, why do I have to tap on my helmet to see if this call was right? I hate sitting at home watching Angel Hernandez or CB Buckner call something that's clearly a strike, a ball, or something that's a ball, clearly a strike. When I have a little square in my screen telling me exactly where that ball landed, Baseball is one of the few sports where we can actually get the calls right every single time. There's technology out there to get it right every single time. And I agree with you on the Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve thing, because you're right. The strike zones are different for those two players. So do you have a system in place to allocate for that, to be able to judge that? Because in real life, Z, Jose Altuve should be the hardest person to pitch to in Major League Baseball.
His strike zone is so minuscule.
And Aaron Judge, right. And Aaron Judge should be the easiest person because it's the letters, right?
It used to be.
It's so annoying for me to watch Aaron Judge up at bat and the catcher raise his hand to catch a ball, and automatically the ump thinks this is a ball. No, no, sir. To this 6'7" man, that's a strike.
Yes.
That's a strike. And for a pitcher to get a ball all the way down by his knee is talent, and that's a strike, not a ball. So I don't want robo-umps to be used in a challenge system. I want robo-umps to be used on every fucking single pitch. We know what a ball and a strike is. Unless you're okay with human error and you're going to let the gambling and the betting go away, then yes, fine. Let the human do it. But I got to watch Bryce Harper get called out on strike three, something that was bullshit, have him argue, get thrown out of the fucking game, and now for the next 7 innings or 6 innings, I've got to watch his backup play because we couldn't just have a robo-umpire let us know that that's not a strike? Come on, it's stupid. It's stupid. You can still have the ump there to let us know what the call is, but I don't know. If you want to leave it up to the pitcher, I don't think you could do something like that, but an old school guy like Max Scherzer has learned that there are some pitches he's going to call, he's going to get some right and some wrong, but at the end of the day, it's going to be fair. If everybody across the board is able to live with that, then let it go. I'm with you. I hate replay too. In every single sport, I don't want replay. I just want the right fucking call. Just give me the right call. Why is it sometimes in football we have to challenge a play and then other plays upstairs has figured it out already? How about upstairs fucking figures it out every single time? If it's egregious, okay. If it's like in football, you can't have it for everything, right? Because they're bang bang plays, bang bang, right? And the same thing when they're catching the ball, you know, on the with their toes or the back of the end zone, it's close, it's hard, and I don't expect the guy to get it right every time. But in baseball, did this guy make it the first or not? We can figure that out. Is this a ball or a strike? We can figure this out. And get this fucking ghost up. Get this ghost runner off of second base.
Please.
Extra innings.
Can we do that? I'm fine with the pitch clock. The pitch clock is fine. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Get rid of the ghost runner. Games are too long. Go fuck yourself. Go someplace else. Like, there you go. You've taken enough from my game as a baseball purist. You've taken fucking enough from me. You've taken enough. Now, as far as like the replay assist, right? You can't have both because think about it. The replay assist has come down and said that this is this. Like, oh, okay. Now, why is that? Now people are calling into account the integrity of the game, right? Because when it favors a team that's already good, like if the Dodgers get a controversial call going their way, oh, it's because they want the Dodgers to win. Like we saw that with the Chiefs, did we not? We saw that with the Eagles, did we not? It's, oh, they're putting their thumb on the scale because they want this team to win. The impropriety. And you nailed it. You hit the nail on the head. The influx of gambling and the amount of money that is poured into this game is astronomical. We want to make sure that it's even, right? We want to make sure that it's called in favorably. Now, is it because of some altruistic need to make sure we put the best product? Fuck no. It's because for the gamblers out there, they want to keep pouring in their money. They want to feel like they're playing a straight up game. I understand that. Max Scherzer definitely understands that with the robo-umps, some of these performances that he's had right? And this would go for Maddox, this would go for Glavin, this would go for anybody who lived on the fringes, right? Randy Johnson wouldn't be affected by this at all. Kirk Schilling wouldn't be, Roger Clemens wouldn't be. Pedro wouldn't be. Why? Because they could fucking blow you away. These guys who lived on the fringes of the corners, and all of a sudden you're not getting the corners. What Maddox used to get, he wouldn't get now. What Scherzer used to get, he's not getting now. And that impacts results, right? Now all of a sudden your walk total's going up. Now all of a sudden your stats are being affected. I understand why the old guys are not too keen on this, because it's going to make them look less great. I understand. And you think about guys like from the way back, right? A guy like Whitey Ford, or a guy, you know, who relied on cunning and guile to get through this, as opposed to a guy like Bob Gibson, who's just, I'm going to strike you the fuck out and you're going to sit down. It definitely plays with the legacy of the game. Here's a radical idea. We talked about things that need to happen, right? Here's a fucking radical idea. Teach people control. Dot the outside corner to where you wouldn't even need this. Teach guys actually how to fucking pitch. Is that too much to ask? I'm serious. Like, is that too much to ask? Teach these guys how to fucking pitch? Rather than just be a thrower? Learn how to paint the outside corner so you wouldn't have to deal with it. Like, actually do it. But, you know, Scherzer wants to yell at a cloud. I don't mind yelling at that cloud. We're all tired of the shit that Major League Baseball has done to kind of change the game, we'll say. And we'll be polite and say change the game. But I don't know. I don't feel like this is the right way to go. Just get better umps. Just be better. Just be better.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, boys and girls, take out your notebooks and pencils. It is time to enter the classroom. D and I give you a topic, and we will assign a letter grade for that topic. Topic number one. The New York Knicks season so far. What is your letter grade, D?
I'm going to give them a C, because if I'm right, they haven't beat any of the top teams. Like, they haven't, they think they're 0-9 or 0-10 against Boston, Oklahoma City, and the Cavaliers. Karl Anthony Towns is struggling defensively. I'm pretty sure they're in the bottom 10 in defense. I want to say they're ranked like 27th or 26th in overall defense, which is weird for a Tibbs team, right? They're getting smoked when Karl Anthony Towns has to come out and defend the perimeter to a guy like Porzingis or a guy like Chet Holmgren, because he can't get back when they drive to the basket or if they pass and move to the basket. Jalen's come down to earth, in my opinion. I mean, he's still a really good point guard. He's still a really good scorer, but he's not at that MVP caliber level we saw 2 or 3 years ago. The Cavs just beat the Boston Celtics, I think, last night or two nights ago, where I was actually emailing friend of the program, Kristen Okris, about it, because Chai Jerome coming off that bench and giving it it all. He wrote his own. They were down by like 20 to Celtics and came back and beat them. And it's just relentless. They had Garland back. They had Mitchell, Duncan, and, you know, crushing it on the road in Boston. So I don't think they're capable of beating Boston. I don't think they're capable of beating the Celtics. I don't think they can beat Oklahoma City. They can't beat this new Thunder team. I don't think they can beat the Nuggets. So, I mean, the new Laker team. So I'm going to give them a C so far.
I'm hovering in between a B and a B minus. Based on where they were last year, there is a drop off.
You're so generous. A good teacher.
So there is an effective drop off between last year's team and this year's team. DiVincenzo, you lost Randall, you lost Hartenstein. You thought bringing in Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges would do the job, and to a degree it has, but there are levels to this, right? They have a winning record against Memphis. They have a winning record against the Nuggets. They got destroyed by the Lakers, right? They got destroyed by the Cavs. They got destroyed by the Celtics. So, oh, and they can't beat Oklahoma City. Not many teams can. Oklahoma City's 48-11 this year. So not many teams have knocked off the Thunder. They're in the second tier, right? They are where they were. It was a status quo. It turned out to be a lateral move. Defensively, they have regressed. But they're still right there. Maybe the Mitchell Robinson activation will help. He's an interior presence. He rebounds. He does the stuff that Karl Anthony Towns does not want to do. Karl Anthony Towns is an offensive player. He will play defense, but he's an offensive player. You knew that when you got him. Like, he's a presence, but you really want him for your offense, not necessarily for defense. I think... Are they going to be a tough playoff out? Yeah. Right now, as presently constituted, as this thing goes, they would play the Pistons in the first round. I think they could beat the Pistons in the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is amazing for the Pistons. Good for fucking Detroit. Talk about the team that was in the wilderness, right? The Pittsburgh Pirates of the fucking NBA. The Detroit Pistons are good this year. Good job, guys. But not good enough to beat the Knicks. And that leads you where? Probably Cleveland. That's a tough out. That's a tough out. This ain't last year. This isn't last year.
No.
No.
No, no,
so
no, it's not.
You're in the exact same place. You're going to end up in the exact same place. You made all of these additions. You made all of these subtractions and you ended up in the same place. You're not bad. You're not great. You're just kind of there. Could you take Cleveland to 7? Possibly in some sort of miracle, right? But as of right now, as presently constituted, no. Probably 5 games tops.
Cleveland's American people.
Cleveland
man.
Is on another level. Cleveland American took people. Shit to another level.
Even I can eat crow on that because... I said that Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks was a mistake, but what he's been able to do in Cleveland this year,
yeah.
I mean, he's rising everybody's game.
Not dealing their backcourt was definitely a smart move by the Cavs, and they've taken it to another level. Like, they can compete with the Celtics. So the Knicks, maybe the Mitchell Robinson, maybe that changes things. Maybe it does. Because defensively, they need him. They desperately need him. But as of right now, they're just kind of where they were last year. But slightly worse. So that leaves me in a B. Somewhere in between B and B minus.
You are such a kind teacher.
We'll call it that.
Best.
Topic number 2. Ben Simmons on the Clippers.
Did they win last night? They beat the Lakers?
No, they lost. Like, on Luka's birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Luka.
I mean, it's amazing that Ben Simmons got a job. It's amazing that he's still in this league, isn't it? Isn't it astonishing to you that a guy...
Now there's a guy.
Who cannot... Here's a guy. This guy... this guy cannot shoot. On the season, he is averaging 6 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and he shoots 55% from
that field. Many points?
Z, I'm pretty sure one of the girls on your team could do this.
Oh, yeah. Brooklyn and Sinai average 11 points apiece. So there you go. Shout out, girls. Yes. Proud of you.
Yes. He played 16 minutes last night, which got him 2 points, 3 assists, and 3 rebounds. Man, this guy is crushing it. Yeah. So, I mean, I think as far as this year goes, and as far as his whole career is, I give this man an F. A fucking F. How are you going to be like 6'10 and this bad? Like, what the... Like, seriously, how could you be this bad? He is 6'10. 240 pounds. He was the number one pick 9 years ago. And he is awful. Awful. And the funny part is he actually plays. Like, they give him minutes. He played
16
games.
Minutes last night.
He was minus 19 last night. He was a fucking minus 19.
He's supposed
19.
To be a defensive wonder.
Do you think James Harden like looks at this and he's just like, what the fuck, man? Like, he should be as good as James Harden is. And James Harden's 5 inches shorter than him. Like, for love of God, man.
I mean... What can you say about Ben Simmons that we haven't already said about him? Like, the back injury totally fucked him up. Like, he wasn't...
His back
totally fucked him up. Where he was never an offensive presence. Where was he effective? On defense. Like, that's where his bread and butter was. Minus 9, that's fucking awful. Like, that's fucking awful.
I was minus 19 and I didn't even play in the game.
3 rebounds. Being that tall, you should never have less than 10. Like, bullshit. Like, you could, you know, you don't even have to jump. Do a calf raise. 3 assists. Okay, so you're not moving the ball. Right? You're not moving the ball. You're not getting rebounds. You're not playing defense. You only score 2 points. And say, what the fuck are we doing here? What the hell are we doing? What are we doing? That's an F. That's an F. F. Absolute fucking... As it fuck out of here, F. Like, that's what the F stands for. They ain't released you yet.
As your
Jesus Christ. That's absolutely god-awful. And I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know... What he has left in the tank. I don't know what he wants out of basketball at this point. You know, I just don't know. I don't know. Like,
I don't know what his career aspirations are.
What's happening. Dude, but it's to say you're a shell of your former self. You need to have a former self before you say you're a shell of yourself. But, you know,
this was
a bad number one pick. It's been a crap career. He's been a bust. Like, what else can you say? He's been an absolute bust, and it's continuing to be so. Topic number 3. The NFLPA player grades for 2025.
I mean, it's always interesting when you see a guy like Mike McDaniels get an A+, and then a guy like Steven Stefanski get a C. Meanwhile, I mean, that Miami team, from everybody I talk to, it's just a shit show down there. Players come and go as they please. They do whatever they want. They're all about themselves. I mean, I don't know. The thing about these grades is it's whatever benefits you, right? It's all about, like, what are you looking for? Like, you want a coach that's not hard on you, that, you know, doesn't give you shit when you play like shit. Okay, you're gonna grade him pretty high, right? You get a coach that's hard on you and wants the best for you and pushes you to, you know, better yourself. You're gonna give him an F because he's too hard on me. Doesn't give me a chance. Ownership doesn't give you that contract you want, ownership didn't get the players that you felt you needed to compete at a high level, you're going to give them an F. So, I mean, these player grades are kind of trash. I mean, it's interesting to see what categories some things fall in. Like, for me, I think the way you treat families is important. And there's a lot of teams failing in that category. Like, in my opinion, like the Saints, Minnesota was number one for families. Dolphins were 3. Rams, 30th. What? What the fuck? But, and this was a team that went through the fires in Los Angeles. 30.
If I remember correctly, I think the players' wives actually organized. I think Matt Stafford's wife organized those flights, not the team. If I remember that correctly.
Jacksonville dead last in treating families like, you know, you got to see what's important. Like, for me, treatment of family, food and nutrition, which I would lump in with, you know, dietitian and nutritionist, training room. I need to trust the training room and the training staff. And I like to be comfortable on the road. So team travel, those are important things to me. I mean, the head coach is, it's all about me, you know, it's all about what I can provide to the team and how the coach can use me. It's hard for me to get upset from my coach, you know, if I didn't believe in the game plan or if I didn't perform to my best. My ownership, I mean, yeah, you get the Woody Johnsons of the world and then you got the Maras of the world. I mean, there's just different classes of people. So as far as player grades go, I give it a C. I think some of it can be taken seriously, and I think some of it's about right. I think the Kansas City, from what I can see and what I've heard, the Kansas City Chiefs grades look pretty accurate to me.
So for tabloid fodder, absolute A. Absolute A. For substance, C. Split the difference, call it a B. Here are supposedly some of the worst coaches, right? Stefanski, like you said, Doug Peterson, well, Eber and Matt Eberflus, and whoever took over for Matt Eberflus once he got fired. Even so, that was only a C. So there's, you know, by that rationale, you know who got a B? John Harbaugh got a B. Right? Sean McDermott got a B. Sean Payton got a B. Gerard Mayo got a B+, and they fired him. So what does that tell you? Like, some of this shit doesn't match up. Right? Mm-hmm. Here we go. The New York Jets were given a B for head coach. Between Ulbrich and Saleh was a B. It's fine. It's great. So some of this stuff needs to be taken with a huge fucking grain of salt. I'm sorry. Like, Woody as an F. Yeah, we get that. Okay, not a problem. Like, yeah, Woody's an F. We understand. The Cardinals having families and players pay for their food. That's kind of cheap. That's kind of dickish. I'm looking at, I mean, treatment of families is important. Absolutely. You know, you definitely need to be concerned with that. Food, dining area, nutrition. Yeah. For me, it's locker room, training staff, training room, and the weight room. Because if I'm going to play, right, if you want me to actually do this, what you don't want is for me to go outside the facility to start doing shit, right? If I have to go other places, then we have a problem. Think about what happened with the Patriots, right? Brady brought in Guerrero. And then he started poaching. He poached Gronk. I think Gronk was a TB12 guy for a while. Edelman was a TB12. Like, it starts becoming like this weird rift. So if I have what I need to begin with, I don't have to worry about having to go to the outside, whether it's for food, whether it's for adequate workout facilities, an adequate trainer. Like, these are the things that I'm looking for. It makes you wonder, right? It really makes you wonder about these situations. Because the Miami Dolphins were rated so highly. Mike McDaniel gets an A as a coach. A+ strength coaches. A+ weight room. A training staff. A+ locker room. Some of these things just don't match up. Are we looking at the same thing? I don't know. It just doesn't, like, you know, the Cardinals in F-minus locker room. What the hell does that even look like? What's an F-minus locker room? This is a stadium that's hosted Super Bowls. Like, what is it? They have, like, is it like the Oakland Coliseum where it was, like, where there was a sewage leak? Like, what is going on there? That it's an F-minus. Like, they only have folding chairs instead of, like, lazy boys? Like, what are we talking about here? So,
I guess now you need, like, lockers that recline into beds or something. Yeah, it's
ownership. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were given a D+ in ownership. The Tampa Bay Bucs got everybody that they needed to get, and they were competitive. They were a playoff team. Like, what could ownership have done better? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, some of these are clear, like Woody. But, you know, Shad Khan got a B+ in Jacksonville. Shad Khan.
For his mustache.
Yeah. Apparently, we have some major AEW fans. Like, maybe they got free wrestling tickets. Maybe that's why he got the B+. Like, the Jacksonville Jaguars are here. Yeah. Like, that. Woo! The Jaguars have the relationship, have the reputation for being one of the worst owner, the worst franchises in the league, yet the owner gets a B+. Like, some of this is weird. Like, some of this is weird. But, you know, you said it before. It's like the players will, if the players like it, like they like it, it's great. If they don't like it, it's bad. And one that I'm surprised that is too high, maybe, like, especially after last year with the whole situation, the Giants ownership got a C+. After the whole Saquon thing and playing out publicly on Hard Knocks. And yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. So for cannon fodder, for pundit fodder, very provocative. A. Absolute A. But substance, there may not be some there. You know, I think that they might have used ChatGPT to kind of copy their homework here. That's what we got. Hit us up. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoutePodcast, or drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ and let us know what you want us to grade. But for now, class dismissed.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com.
Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and now on our Spotify. Go to our Spotify page, click on the episode, and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy, D? That would be CONCACAF and the MLS for kowtowing to Lionel Messi. And nobody else. Colorado, LAFC, fuck you. You play in 6-degree weather in the snow. But Mr. Messi, we'll take care of you. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week? D.
All right, first up, I've got Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
Quarterback coming out of Colorado, son of Deion Sanders. Shows up with the combine with a backward cap, comes up to the podium and tells teams that if you don't feel like changing your culture, you don't feel like me changing your team, then you don't want to draft me. It's like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Like, Like, you talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't want to change their culture. They need a quarterback. Can you come play quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get drafted by the Oakland Raiders? Are you trying to get drafted by the Cleveland Browns? Be a pro. Be a pro's pro. Your father was a pro. You're not your father. How about you take off the hat, you take off the chains, and come to the podium like everybody else? Everybody's riding high with confidence until that outside linebacker comes on a blitz on their blind side and puts his helmet in your back. Be a pro. Don't be a jerk. Shedeur Sanders, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I have got tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs, Travis Kelce. Mr. Kelce decided not to retire this week. He will be back for his 13th season with the Chiefs. Last year, Kelce had 823 yards on 97 receptions and 3 touchdowns. It was his worst year of his career. And he's going to try to beat that. He's going to try to have an even worse year next year. You got to know when to walk away, bro. It was 27-0 at one point in the Super Bowl. I don't think you have any left. You should just retire. Travis Kelce, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And my last but not least, Joel Embiid, yes, center of the Philadelphia 76ers, who opted to play in the Olympics this past summer, will not be playing any more basketball games this season due to another knee surgery. He barely played this year. Their team is going nowhere extremely fast. The 76ers played the Knicks this week, and Tyrese Maxey was 0-for-10 from three-point land.
Jesus Christ.
0-for-10. Tyrese, just stop shooting it, man. Just stop shooting it. Just let it go. Paul George, playoff P, will not be making a playoff appearance this year, I don't think. This has just gone horribly awry. I really believed in Daryl Morey, but I think it's time to move on from the process. It's time to move on from Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, you are my alleged superstar of the week.
Back it up. Playoff P is also not hosting Podcast P right now. Like, he's taking a hiatus from his podcast game to focus and try and get them back into the mix.
That was a good fucking luck decision. With that.
I think it was after he got cooked on his own podcast about guys who have ruined the game. I forget who the guest was, but, you know, basically he was like, yeah.
One of the guys?
His guest looked right at him. It's like, oh, shit. And that's the downside of video podcast, kids. So there you think about that. I'm going to start with the LA Galaxy. The Campeones del MLS won last year against Red Bull New York. And you open up this year, big old celebration. You have your banner raising, everything. And then you get blanked by an expansion team. What? This would be the equivalent of the Dodgers getting blanked by an expansion team in their season opener. Like, come on now. What are we doing here? Show up to play, not just for the adulation. LA Galaxy, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Atlanta Falcons. Reports indicate that Kirk Cousins was hurt down the stretch, and that's why he was playing like absolute dog shit when he was on his one touchdown, nine pick streak that ultimately resulted in his benching and the ascendance, the rising of Michael Penix. Here's the problem, though. GM Terry Fontenot and coach Raheem Morris both said they had no idea that Kirk Cousins was injured. How the fuck do you not know that Kirk Cousins is injured? You're the head coach and the GM of the fucking team. How do you not know these things? Is he hiding the injury? Is he not telling the medical staff? Like, what the fuck? You just thought he fell off a cliff? Is that what you really thought? go in the locker room, for Christ's sake. Figure some shit out. Go. Kirk doesn't look quite right. He's holding his elbow. Fuck. That's just ridiculous. Atlanta Falcons, you are my alleged superstar of the week. That's proving to be a very expensive mistake, because now they're going to have to trade Cousins. I think he's done. He's donezo in Atlanta. Guaranteed. Right out the fucking door. Oh, my God. There is hope, though. I heard the Cleveland Browns are looking for a quarterback. So there's always that. And then number three. Trade problem for...
But seriously, what the fuck are we going to do?
I don't know.
I just don't know. Where do we go from here? Penix is going to be the starter. It's just like, what? Like, what do you mean you were hurt? What the fuck? Where were you hurt? Who did you tell? Did you tell anybody about this? Why are we calling 60-yard pass plays if you can't throw the fucking football downfield? And what does that have to do with you throwing to the right fucking team, by the way?
I don't understand. The whole Atlanta situation is going to blow up. And it's going to, you know, and that might be another thing that kind of hurt Matt Stafford here. It's just like, fuck, they can just go get Kirk Cousins. Whatever. It's a fucking mess. We knew.
It's funny how we didn't mention him in that segment earlier.
A distant eight or distant nine, Kirk Cousins. I would go get Mark Sanchez before I get Kirk Cousins. Like, Mark Sanchez hasn't played quarterback in like 6 years. I would take Mark Sanchez over Kirk Cousins. Number three, Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. Such bitch behavior after their match with NYCFC. NYCFC up 2-1 late. Miami comes back, down a man, mind you, because of a controversial red card in the first half. Miami comes back to draw. Fine, no problem. Suarez, Alba, Busquets, Messi crowding the ref. Messi keeps going. Gets his finger in the ref's face. NYCFC assistant coach Mehdi Bellucci comes over. And Messi puts his hands on the neck, on the back of the neck of Mehdi Bellucci. Kind of like, almost, I don't understand what he was doing there. Just keep your fucking hands to yourself, dude. He got a hefty fine from the league. I'm sure Inter Miami is paying it. But you're the face of soccer. You're the face of this league, whether you want to be or not. Stop with the bitch behavior. Working every single fucking call. Whining. Crying. Hands up. Stop. Play the fucking game. Newsflash to Inter Miami. Newsflash to those four guys. You're probably better than most of the teams combined in the league. Individually, you four could probably beat most starting 11s. Be better. Do better. Messi, Inter Miami, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. Vote on Spotify. Vote, vote, vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.